We're continuing microscopy today, so I don't have a hell of a lot to say. Just want to mention a couple things, mostly because students in previous terms were confused by these two things, even though they're explained in the manual. One is how to properly estimate the size of a cell that you're looking at under the scope. Some scopes have little tick marks that look like a measuring device in the ocular, but they don't have any units on them, and they can't have any units, like micrometers, for instance, because it's relative, because of something I told you last week, right? The circle that is the field of view looks the same size to your eyes, but it's not. The size of that circle changes when you go up or down in magnification by changing objective lenses. So if you have a scale in there, the distance between the scales changes every time you change the objective lens. That's why you can't have actual absolute units on that scale. It just depends on which objective you're using. But it's a pretty simple matter of doing this. All you need to know is how big the diameter of the field of view is, which is given to you in your manual. There's a little table. It's going to be different depending on which objective lens you're using, but for this scope, you have a table that tells you, for a given magnification, what this distance is, the diameter across the circle. All right, let's say you have a cell in there, you want to estimate it. Well, the first thing you should do is use the mechanical stage to move it around so that the cell is right at the edge, any edge of the field of view. And then just imagine how many, approximately, copies of that cell it would take to get all the way across. Like in this example, it took about 6. Then it's simply a matter of dividing the diameter, which you've looked up in the table, by 6 in this case. That's the diameter of the cell. Okay? But it's going to matter which number you use, because that number changes with magnification. So that's really all there is to that. The other thing that confuses people is when you change the tonicity, when you look at the Elodia leaves, they're out, aren't they? That dish with the plant in it. Just take a tiny leaf, is all you're looking at. Looking at the cells is no problem. You'll be easily able to get a good view of cells. And remember, these are plant cells, so they have cell walls, which are strong, so they don't collapse and they don't explode. The cell walls are basically a grid that's going to be there in all situations without changing size. Okay? So you'll see kind of square-like cells. That's not going to change. But in one of the treatments, it tells you to put some salt on it. Well, if you add salt to the environment, what are you doing to the... what are you making the environment? Hypertonic, and therefore osmosis should occur in which direction? Out of the cell. Water is going to... let me just draw one cell in isolation. A plant cell will have several different chloroplasts in there, which are easy to spot because they're the green things. That's what makes the cell look green overall, is the chloroplasts. That's where the greenness is. That's where the pigment is for photosynthesis. But remember, there's also a central vacuole in a plant cell, which can be huge, but it can change volume because it can take on or release water. All right. The confusing thing is that when you put the salt on, the cells will look like they're green all the way through. And then when you put pure water in it to make it hypotonic, they'll look like they're green just around the edges and clear in the middle. Now, the reason that is because under hypotonicity, watery environment, the water not only comes into the cell, it gets put into the central vacuole. and the central vacuole becomes huge within that cell, and it therefore pushes all the stuff with color up against the cell wall. And that's why it looks empty and very green on the edge, a very bright green, because that green is intensified when it's concentrated like that. When you put it in hypertonicity, the central vacuole loses that water and gets very small, and that gives the entire cell volume to move around in, basically, and these chloroplasts just spread out. So it's a fainter green, but it looks green all the way across simply because you're seeing several layers of cells, basically. You're seeing some chloroplasts from a different cell behind it or underneath it, and that's why it looks that way. But make sense of that to yourself in terms of hypotonicity, and actually go through with witnessing it by following the instruction, making the mount. By the way, when you do change the tonicity, you know, you make your wet mount, as I explained last time, and you'll make several today, but when you do this one for the Elodia leaf, when you add the salt or add the pure water, all you're doing really is just putting a drip or two on one edge of the cover slip. You know, you already have the cover slip in place and you view it first before you start messing with it. But when you put just a drip or two of, a drop or two of salt water or pure water on the edge, capillary attraction will basically suck that into underneath between the two pieces of glass. So don't try to take the cover slip off to change anything about it. Just put it on the edge. And then wait a minute or so that it equilibrates and then look at it. You can look at it while it equilibrates. You should be able to see it change. But give it a chance to take effect before you see the final observation. That's it. Go ahead and finish it up.